You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
Again, your Bible's Genesis 1:1. Now, if you don't know your Bible too well, I'm sure you can find this one. Amen. You can look like a right theologian today and go straight there. You don't have to look at the index. It's right at the beginning. Right at the beginning. Well, not actually. There's usually a few little pages that say a few things, and I've never read all of that, but I'm sure I should one day. But you can be there. We're in a series that's going to run for I don't know how long. But it's going to run at least to the end of the year. And what we're looking at is Jesus in Genesis. And so this is the series that we're going to be looking at, and we're going to be going through the book of Genesis. Today we're only going to be dealing with the first three verses, but as we move in the book of Genesis, we will be picking up some speed, so we will be covering more ground. So don't worry, we're not going to be just doing three verses a week, because how many know there's a lot of chapters in Genesis, and it'll take us a long time just to go through three verses a week, but if you've got that, say amen. Let's get straight into the Word of God and just allow God's Word to minister to us. Whenever we come to the Word of God, we need to come with an understanding that this is God speaking. This is not man speaking, this is God speaking. And so we need to have that fully have an understanding about that, that this is God's Word. And so the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace and your mercy. Father, we pray that you would speak to us tonight. Father, as we start this journey in your word, in the book of Genesis, where there is so much important foundational truth, I pray, Father, that our hearts will be opened. Father, I pray that you would energize the core of this church. Father, that the core would grow, and Father, that the core, Father, would bring energy to this church. Father, without a core, we can do nothing. And Father, I pray right now that Jesus, you would be magnified in this place. And all God's people said, and so something recently, as we was in the Tucson conference and going through the conference and having a wonderful time, and something that was preached really helped me to articulate what I was feeling anyway. And so one of the things on a Wednesday night, what we do is we really are dealing with the core members of our church. And when we say the core, these are the people that come week in, week out. These are the people that do most of the ministry in the church. These are the people that do most of the lifting, most of the praying, reading their Bible, following up on people. These are the people, without them, we cannot function. They're the people in the nursery and the ushers and all of that. See, a church without a core is just a mob. It's just a mob. It's not a church. It will not be able to do anything. And we've been talking about reaching the world for Jesus. Without a core, you cannot reach nothing for Jesus. Because core people, they say, you know, come hell or high water, I'm going to be in church. No matter what I'm going through, I'm going to be in church. No matter what I'm going through, I've got to set my mind, this is what it's about. And so we are really dealing with the core when we preach, you know, these messages, and so to help you grow. But let's just dive straight into this. The first thing we understand about this is that the Bible says, in the beginning, God created. And I want to say that this, if you do not believe this, that God created. And so it says, in the beginning, God created. And basically, he's speaking about everything that we see from the macro to the micro. And that's just a posh way of saying everything super small and everything super big. That's just a nice way of saying that. So whether we're talking about planets and stars and the solar system and galaxies, God created it. Whether we go down to the smallest, if we're talking about single cells, if we're talking about atoms, if we're talking about electrons, protons, neutrons, quarks, and whatever smaller than that, God created it. And so without God, nothing would have been created. Now, let me just start by saying this, is that without God, what the Bible is saying is that God started, say started, everything that exists physically. Everything that exists physically, also spiritually, but this is speaking about the physical universe that we understand. Matter, time. God started it. He was there when there was no time, there was no matter, there was nothing. He was there in the beginning. God created it. Now, without this, if you do not believe this, I believe we all believe this, but if you do not believe that God created everything, you have no logical explanation for our existence. Let me say that again. If you don't believe that God created everything, matter, time, energy, if you don't believe God created everything, you have no logical, reasonable, no way of actually explaining why everything exists. Now, what I mean by that, maybe some of you say, well, what about the Big Bang? How many have ever heard of that, Big Bang? You know, the Big Bang is simple. At first there was nothing, and then it exploded. Now, I don't know how that sits with you logically. Let me say it again. There was nothing, and nothing exploded. How can nothing explode logically? When have you ever seen nothing explode? Listen, if nothing can explode, then I could say that to my insurance company. You know what? There was nothing and the house exploded. So why don't you just give me back some money, man? Tell the police. Yeah, there was nothing and they stole my car. Listen, it doesn't work like that. In our logical universe, with your logic, where have you ever witnessed there was nothing and it exploded? I've used this, but I have to repeat this. What people sometimes think, they've seen Star Wars and Star Trek, and so they've seen explosions in space, and so they're thinking, that's what happened. In space, there was an explosion. No, that's not what the Big Bang is saying. The Big Bang says there wasn't even space. The space was in the explosion. So there's just nothing. There's not stars, galaxies. There's not energy. There's nothing. Nothing at all. People can say, oh, it was in empty space. You know, there's no such thing as empty space, because even in space, there's matter. There's things happening. And so without God creating everything, you have no logical explanation to why everything exists. You say, what is it? You know, we have never seen nothing explode. Not only that, let me push further on this. I want to give you some things in your head so you can retain these. To say there was an explosion, that's to say that something just out of nowhere, nothing, for no reason, exploded. And so what we're saying is randomness created order, because you are ordered. You are ordered together. People that say about evolution, they don't understand about DNA and the single cell organism and all of these things. So you are ordered. Everything we see is ordered. If the earth was a little bit more closer to the sun, we'd all die. We'd fry up. All the water on this planet would evaporate and we would have no water and we would die. If the earth was a bit closer, if it was a bit further away from the sun, we would all freeze to death. That was it. We couldn't survive. The earth is exactly right. Actually, they say that if the moon didn't do what it did, that the planet would shake and all of these things, every single planet. And even in science books, they say that where the planet is they call it the Goldilocks thing. If it was a bit closer, life wouldn't work. If it was a bit further, life wouldn't work. We're right at the exact point. That shows us that we needed to be here. So you're telling me a random explosion caused order. We never in our universe see that randomness causes order. We never in our universe see confusion and chaos create order. What do they call the universe? They call it the cosmos. The cosmos is the Greek word for order.
The opposite of cosmos is chaos. But what evolution tells us and the Big Bang says is that cosmos came out of chaos. We never see that. We never see that. If we just started, let me say this. How many like Scrabble? I hate that game, but if you like it. How many like Scrabble? I hated it. Praise God. Look, this is a godly church, man. Hardly anybody likes it here. Praise God. To me, Scrabble is like going back to school. Like, come on, man. Give me back in the day. I'm old school. I wanted an Atari. Yeah, Atari. Some of you are looking at me like, boy, Pastor was wrong. Back when the dinosaurs were roaming the earth, we were playing Atari. Beep, boop, beep, boop. That type of thing. Yeah, you got it now. You're getting it. I know you got like PlayStation 5000 and PSP, PPS, or everything else, and Tours of Duty and FIFA's Duty and everything else. Okay, but think about this now. Imagine you had a Scrabble and you got all these words and we had these letters and we just kept throwing the letters up in the air. We just kept throwing them up in the air. And one day we expect that when they fall down, they would write, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, how many times do you think you would have to get random letters, even if we had the right letters for that sentence? To throw them up in the air, that's randomness. That's chaos. If we throw them up in the air, how many times do you think you'd have to do it before you would accidentally, out of randomness, get order? Out of chaos, get cosmos. Actually, if we did it, and all of a sudden they fell to the ground, and it said, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," we would say, "My day, something's done that." We would say something's done that because that's not normal. But that's simple. That's just a sentence. Do you know how many things have to be perfectly done right for you to be a human being and live? How many molecules and all of these things have to be perfectly right, but you have been taught by the propaganda of this world that a big bang happened and you are here. Randomness can never create order. If we see a book, we know that somebody with intelligence had to create the order. If you see anything in a perfect line, something had to put it there. This is how it is. Life always comes from life. There is no evidence in all of our universe that life never came from life. There is no, even if you see two cells break down, they become another cell. They become another cell. They become another cell. They become another cell. This is what it is. Life makes life. See, this is not just theological, but it gives us answers that are philosophical. And really, philosophical really just means the reason why we exist. Logical reasoning. You know, if I came here today and it was dry when I came here, and I go outside and everywhere is wet. My car's wet, the street is wet, there's people that are wet. What would I assume happened? It had been raining. Now you could say to me, "Did you see it rain?" No, I didn't see it rain. But I have seen it rain before. And my logic, the logical processes of life tell me that it must have rained. This is logic. So we have to use logic. God is not against logic. God gives us the Bible. And so God tells us to use our logic when we deal with the Bible. So when we look at the universe that we can observe, we do not see nothing exploding. We do not see randomness create order. We do not see life come from nowhere. We don't see none of these things. See, Genesis explains all of these questions. The problem is that many people do not ask these questions because they've been made dumb. This is how the world gets you to believe what it wants you to believe. It must dumb you down. You don't think. Most people are not thinking philosophically. They don't think those things. They dumb you down by what? Making you look at people's profiles all day. and statuses. People looking at Instagram, people's pictures, taking pictures of themselves so that they look good, and then touching it up so it looks even better. And so people spend hours and hours and hours looking at those things, or looking at Facebook. People's pictures. It's making you dumb. It's making you dumb, or looking at reality TV. People that are just like me and you, but worse than me and you. Taking their clothes off and sleeping around and swearing and fighting with one another. That's entertainment. No, it's dumbing you down. It's making you dumb. The music is making people dumb. It talks about dumb things that you don't have to think about. If you look at me, I'll punch you in your face. You're dumb. It doesn't take any intellect. You have not thought about why you're here or why you exist. And even the process of it, dong dong gun, dong dong gun, dong dong gun, dong dong gun, man don't know, man don't know, bring me to the and it's just dumbing down. Now, I'm not into classical music, but you know how complex those composers had to be. Now, it's just a repeat. And even the dancer. Everything is being dumbed down, so then you don't think about these questions that I've posed in people's minds, and then they give you a lie. And say nothing exploded. Randomness created order. Okay, yeah. Random. Okay, all right. I don't want to think about that, Pastor. Let me go back and look at people's. Oh yeah, WhatsApp. Oh, let me look at their status. Oh wow. Oh, they've changed it. Oh, it's the same. Oh, going down. The next person. Oh, the next person. What about these questions? Listen, we need to think about these questions. Why do we exist? What is matter and energy? Where does it come from? Genesis explains God created it. Good and evil. Where does good and evil come from? Where does good and evil come from? Evolution cannot explain that to us. We understand that good and evil, where it comes from, we see it. Life. Why there are animals. Why there are why all of these things, we know why and how, because Genesis explains it. That God created out of nothing. See, God creates out of himself. He's Elohim. This is why God is holy. If you ever start to struggle with the concept of holiness, if you start to think it's just a random abstract concept, like you're singing, holiness, holiness is what I long. What is holiness? What is it? It means that God is not like, or should I say, nothing is like God. Nothing is like God. Nothing. There is nothing that can create out of itself like God. Me and you can create things, we can design things, but we design out of inspiration, meaning that we've seen something and then we've moved on from it. God didn't have to see anything to create. He just took it out of himself. No one had to inspire him. Nothing occurs to God because he already knew it. God is never inspired. He's just God. He's always been and he'll always be. He creates out of himself. Think about how God, that's the God that you seek. You know, sometimes when I'm praying and I'm trying to, you know, just being saved 20 years and praying, you don't want your prayer to become religious and just repetitive for no purpose. And when I'm trying to re-energize my understanding of God's holiness, I pray, God, there is nobody like you. Who can make a mountain like you? When we was in Tucson, we see the mountains, like, and you see houses, and the houses are tiny. People's cars are tiny compared to this mountain. No man can make that mountain. No man can make a cell. They can't make a cell. No man can give life. No man can do that. This is only God's territory, only God's domain. Yes, we are created in his image, but we can't do what he does. He is holy. He is far above us, far greater than us. And so this is what we need to understand. There's so much more I could go on, but because of time, I don't. The richness of Genesis, and we'll touch a little bit on some stuff next week, but let me just speak about what does it say. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so really, I've just been preaching on that little bit there. And then it goes on, and it says, this is a very interesting statement. It says, and the earth was without form and void, without form and void. Now, what this is doing is telling us the conditions of the earth. Now, when he says the earth there, he's not talking about earth as in the ground. He's talking about this planet, as we could say it loosely. Let's use that word loosely. This is what he's speaking about. The earth was without form and void. Now, in the Hebrew, this is what it says here. When it says the earth was without form, that word was meaning that it actually became. This is very interesting. It says, it tells us that the earth became the condition it's about to tell us. When it says in the, because we know that the Genesis was written in Hebrew, without form and void is the word tohu vabohu. I don't know, you're like, what? You don't use that too much. I probably pronounced it wrong. Tohu vabohu. Tohuvabohu. Tohu bohu. Without form and void. You can use that. Just go around. Yo, tohu. You can name it. Anyway. Let me give you a little out of one of the commentaries that I was reading. He says, the words are employed in Isaiah 43, verse 11, and Jeremiah 4, verse 23, to depict a desolation and a destruction of ruin and a ruin of the land. And so what it's saying is that, and they use the words, and let me read the scriptures, Isaiah 34. I mean, we've got to go deeper. Look at someone say, go deep. You need to know your word. You need to know how to use your sword. Isaiah 34. Look what it says here. Jeremiah 4, verse 23. Let's go to that. And I beheld the earth, and indeed it was without form and void. Use the same words there as in the Hebrew, tohu, vabohu. And it says, without form and void. And it speaks about the heavens. And it says that this is what God had did because of the rebellion of what was happening. Now, there are some theories from commentaries and theologians that before man was ever really on this, before, because God, how many know God has not made man yet? Well, let me tell you, God has not made man yet. Amen. Somebody's like, I'm not sure. God has not made man yet. God has not made man. We don't see that until later on. And so think about this now. How did the world get into this condition? This without form and void. How did the world get into this condition of tohu vabohu? It's okay, you laugh. It's funny. And so this could have been a result of the celestial battle. We know that the angels were created before the earth because in Job it says that they rejoiced, or there was something that happened when they saw the heavens created. So the angels were around before this. And so maybe there was a celestial battle and the earth became the battleground. And when God looks upon what he sees as earth, it was actually ruined. It's without form and void. It's a desolate place. I'm not going to push that. You can read into that and you can. But we know that it had become like this because the Bible puts it plain and straight. What it says is that upon the earth, there was no life. There was no order. There's no hope. Is actually a dark place. The Bible says that darkness was on the face of the deep. You know, I was thinking about this, is that sometimes this is how our lives can look. That our lives, there are seasons and times when we can look at our life and it feels like it's become tohu vabohu. You can look at your life and feel like, you know what? My life has become chaos. How many have ever felt like your life is chaotic? How many have ever felt like randomness is taking control? How many ever felt like, you know what, there's no life here, there's no hope here, that my life has become a hopeless place? And things happen to you, and you lose things, and you lose loved ones, and you lose jobs, and you lose health, and all of these things, or you feel like you're losing your mind. A place where there's no hope. The Bible says it became a dark place. I believe that this is more than just an absence of light, because you got to remember, here we have a darkness, but the sun has not been created yet. But it says that the darkness is on the face of the deep. So this is not the, he didn't just say darkness is everywhere. It said darkness was on the face of the deep. And I believe there is a darkness that can be felt. And how do we know that? It's because the Bible speaks about it in Exodus 10, verse 21. He says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand towards the heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt." Think about this darkness that they experienced in Egypt, that you could feel it. Imagine the Egyptians are there and they can feel this darkness. So Moses stretched out his hands towards the heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone arise from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwelling. See, this is more than just the sun went down. Because Egyptians could have just got a candle. It's like a candle. But they said, no, only God's people had a light. How many of we have a light? Even though we're in a world where there is much darkness, we still have a light. But this is where the hope is. The Bible says that the Spirit of God was hovering. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Spirit of God was hovering over where there was darkness. Tohu vabohu. This place of confusion, chaos, desolation, ruin. A hopeless place. Think about what the Bible is telling us here, is that your life could look like it's in a hopeless place, but that doesn't mean God's Spirit is not hovering over you. Your life could look like it's hopeless right now, a place of confusion. You're confused about what the next move is. You're confused about what's going on in your life. This chaos, this all of these things, this darkness where you feel that you're at this dark place. The Bible says when the earth was at this dark place, listen, and it's hopeless. God was hovering over a hopeless place. God hovers over hopeless people. His Spirit can still be over a hopeless marriage, a hopeless ministry. When things are hopeless, when the doctor says it's hopeless, God's Spirit can still hover over. When people have given up on you and said there's no hope for you, can I tell you, God can hover over you. His Spirit can hover over you. Even before I was saved, I was thinking about preaching this as I was putting it together, thinking, before anybody ever witnessed to me, I remember times being in a club or a rave about 6 months before I got saved, starting to feel convicted. Starting to feel something's not right here about my life. Starting to feel I need a change, but I did not know what was going on. Can I tell you, that was God hovering over me. Even in that darkness, God was hovering over me. Even in a dark place, and many of you could testify that you was in a dark place. You should have gone here. You should have went there. You was about to do something, maybe something that would have ruined your life forever, but you didn't. Because God's Spirit still hovers over hopeless people, hopeless things. Maybe you've got people in your life right now. They're not saved. Don't give up on them. Pray, God, hover over them right now. Go where they are. Hover over them. Show them there's hope. Show them that they can change. Do a work in their life, because God hovers over hopeless things. He sends His Spirit. But everything needed to change, and everything was about to change, because the Bible says in our text, it says, darkness was on the face of the earth, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. Then God said, this is where everything changes. God's word changes everything. God's word. Church, let me just slow down for a second, because I want you to hear this. When you're going through a difficulty, when you're going through a trial, when you're in that dark place, you must know this. You got to get this in your spirit. God's word can change everything. The reason why I've got to tell it to you now, because I've been pastoring a little while and I've learned a few things. And when people are going through it, it's very difficult to try to then tell them, come on, man, trust God. When people are going through things, you really, that's the time when you kind of just console people. How many know that's the reality? When you're going through things, you could just be around him. You've got to let people know, I'm here for you. It's not a time for questions. How many know it's not a time for questions when people are going through things? It's a time just to let them know, I'm here for you. It's not a time to break down everything they say. Oh, where's God? Don't pull out your Bible. Where's God? Well, the Bible says that God is here. No. That's not the time. That's what Job's friends did to him. It's a time to get around him. But the reality is, what I realize is, if in the good times you don't get the word in you, if you don't realize that the word is a lamp unto my feet, why do I need a lamp unto my feet? Because darkness is coming. That's why you need a lamp unto your feet, because there's going to be a time when you're not going to know what to do next, and you cannot see way down the road. You cannot see around the corner. You don't know. But now I need a word. And the Bible says at this moment, when there is darkness and confusion and desolation and chaos, God speaks and everything changes. Speak to your situations. Speak into your life. Speak into your children. Speak into your marriage. Speak into your ministry. Use God's word. Are you using God's word? Many times I talk to people and they use their own word. Hey, bro, I ain't seen you in church for a little while, man. Yeah, I'm just busy. You know, I've got to sort some stuff out. Where does it say that in the Bible? What's that going to say? Where does it say that in the Bible? If you're busy, okay, no problem. Put God on pause. Put God on pause until you get everything sorted out. And then, okay, let's play now. That's your own word. That's not God's word. I think I just need to take time out. Where's that? See, you got it. There's no taking time out. There's using the word of God and saying, listen, this is my circumstance, but I'm going to go into the word of God and I'm going to find truth from God's lips. And when he speaks, everything changed. Listen, everything we see now, everything you see around you, the order, everything we can enjoy, you and me. Listen, I never evolved from no monkey. Maybe you came from a monkey. I never came from a monkey. No monkey. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm designed, created, crafted, manufactured to give God the glory. I'm a designer product. God made me and his name is on me. His name is higher than every other name. You may have a name from New York, Milan, London. No. The name that's on me is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. I'm a son of the Most High God. And so because I know that, everything we see, the order, the beauty, everything we see, creation, is because God just spoke. Think about how powerful that is. Think about how powerful the word of God is. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 11. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are invisible. The Bible says that the word of God made everything. It framed everything. It put it in its place. It supported everything. This is why you need to speak the word of God. Stop speaking death. Too many Christians speaking death in their life. I don't think it's going to work. I think it's too hard. I don't know what's going to... Listen, sometimes you just got to shut your mouth. And sometimes I just shut my mouth. I've learned just to shut my mouth. If I can't say something positive, then just say nothing at all. People ask me, hey, what do you think about so-and-so? I had a good time in Tucson. The Bible says, what did he speak? He said, let there be light. You know, the Bible says in John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Speaking about Jesus, the Word, the Logos, the manifestation of God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. John witnessed the true light. there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came as a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not that light. Speaking about John, John was not the light, but he testified to who the light was, meaning Jesus. But he was sent to bear witness of the light, that the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. There are people that say that God only picks certain people to be saved. Bible says that no, Jesus' light shines on every man. Whether they get saved, it's their business. God does call us. God does a work by his spirit. Without his spirit drawing us, we can't be saved. But the Bible here says there is a light that has shined upon every man, and that light is Jesus Christ. Jesus is like light. Jesus is like light in our life. You know that when you turn a light on, darkness has to disappear. How many know when you turn a light on, you don't see darkness and light fighting? Turn on the light, darkness disappears. Jesus, when you accept Jesus, the darkness has to disappear. Oh, pastor, pray for me. The devil's on me. Can we do a special deliverance service? Draw a circle. Throw some oil on me. Listen, call upon the name of Jesus. You will be delivered. Jesus is the light. When you receive the light, darkness has to flee. It disappears. Light brings sight and understanding. When you get saved, you're going to see things differently. Listen, if you haven't seen anything differently than the light, you haven't received the light. We can't make blind people see. Jesus does that. Jesus is the one who does that. What is, when you turn on the light, many times fear, the fear that was there will disappear. When we receive Jesus, true Christ followers, listen, Jesus will deal with your fear. Do you know that you actually cannot see light? Light is invisible. But you see what it actually hits. Right now, there's light coming out of these lights. And the light is traveling. And all of you that can see me, I'm going to stand under the light now, nice and bright. All of you that can see me, you actually can't see the light traveling. It looks invisible. But when it hits me, it hits your eye. You only see what the light hits. You only see how the light interacts with another body. That's how Jesus is. See, some of you here, you're like, where's Jesus? Listen, Jesus is that light. You're not going to see him, but you see how he's hit our lives. You see, sometimes, where's Jesus in my life? Well, you've seen how he's interacted. He's touching your heart. He's convicting you of sin. He's showed you, hey, don't go there. No, don't follow that. No, don't go there. No, don't do this. That's Jesus, because he is the light of the world. The Bible says that Jesus is the light that comes to all men. Light shows things as they are. When you accept Jesus, you understand really what is going on. Light makes things sparkle. How many know it's God's glory that makes us look good? How many know it's only Jesus that makes us look good? Some of you think you look good for you. You're like, yeah, no, I look good. Listen, listen, we know how you looked when you came in. We got pictures. We got evidence. It's the light that hits us. When you see something, you can have the best diamond in the world. If there's no light, you wouldn't see nothing. In a dark room, a diamond is just a stone, a rock. You've got to turn the lights on to see it sparkle. And there's things in you that you think, oh, I'm nothing. And that's why there's some people here that you've lowered your achievements because you think you're just a nothing. Your devil's been telling you just a rock. And the reason you believe it, you've been living in darkness. But if you come into the light, you will allow God's light, Christ, to shine and to see, wow, inside of me, God has deposited, I can sparkle. People can see, wow, look at what you're doing, and you can give glory to God. Rather than the dim, dingy light of the world. People get so excited about the pop star and the music star and the football star and all of these people. And their lights are dull and they diminish. People go, get excited. You know, not long ago, Muhammad Ali died, the boxer. You know, his name was the greatest. And I'm not trying to be derogatory. Jesus is greater. It's been more than 3 days since Muhammad Ali died. Jesus is the greatest. Because when Jesus died, after 3 days, he rose again. That you can scour this planet with a fine tooth comb and you will not find Jesus' body because he's alive. Because Jesus not only whipped the devil, he whipped death at the same time. Jesus is the greatest. And you could be like, yeah, I'm the greatest. Well, after you die, we'll see. You know what I love about God? God just let man talk. God just like, talk. Maybe you're here right now, you're talking. God's just like, talk. Say, yeah, yeah. You think, yeah, I'm bad, I'm this, I'm cool. Yeah, God's just like, talk. But we're going to see in the long run. One of the things about light, do you know light is the fastest thing in the universe? Do you know there is nothing faster than light? There is nothing faster than light in our physical universe. Can I tell you, there is nothing like God. When you need him to rescue you, he will be right where you are. He is faster than light. One way that Jesus is not like light, that he doesn't need to travel to, he's there with you all the time. And so let us walk in Christ. Let us walk in the light. Let me read the last scripture and then we'll pray. Ephesians 5 verse 8. For we were once darkness. How many can testify to that? I don't mean you bleached. That's not what we're talking about here. Yeah, I was once darkness. No, that's not what we're talking about. We were once darkness, talking about immorality. But now we are light in the world. Walk as children of light. Walk in Christ. Walk in the gospel. Walk. What we see is two things happening here. We see the Spirit of God moving, because it's always the Spirit that has to start the work. But then we see the Word, and that Word is the light, which is Jesus, which is the gospel. This is what we put our confidence in. This is what we hold on to. I want every head bowed, every eye.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.